Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Meet Gary. Gary's about to become an Einstein in an instant.
Whoa, Einstein hair. I like it.
That's right, Gary, because you're using Salesforce powered by Einstein AI to connect data, predict business trends, generate personalized content, and wow customers.
I do feel a lot smarter.
Because you're not just Gary anymore. You're Gary, empowered by Einstein AI.
Did you hear that, team? I'm an Einstein.
Oh, can I get a selfie?
The number one AI CRM. Now everyone's an Einstein with Salesforce.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, I'm here. It's Friday, so it has to be about energy. It has to be about green energy and oil. And I'm subjecting Jason to this because I think it's a really important issue that's playing out in the election in the U.S. It's also playing out in a big, big way in Europe as well. So we want to bring in a special expert. He's been in this industry for decades. He knows everything about anything when it comes to energy. That's Dan Juergen. He's vice chairman of IHS Market. Dan, you have a new book out called The New Map: Energy, Climate, and the Clash of Nations. It's always good to talk to you, by the way. And I wondered if you could just let me know, why'd you write the book? Like, what was your impetus? What were you thinking? You talk to CEOs, you give presentations, you're all involved with OPEC. Like, why'd you write it?
Alex, what the basic reason is that the world had really changed dramatically from even a decade ago, whether it's in terms of the U.S. being the world's largest oil producer, whether it's the Paris Agreement, whether it's the disruption in U.S.-Chinese relations. And we needed, and I saw this is a new terrain, a rough terrain, and we needed a map through it. And that's why I set out to write the map and try and make sense of where it's all going.
A new map, Dan, and it's really nice to connect with you. So delighted you're here with us. Is hard to create it in many ways. I think any cartographer would tell you that. And certainly, I mean, this is three-dimensional in many ways. So how do you even set about doing this?
Well, I did it. I organized it. Well, first of all, I wanted to make it a narrative. I wanted to make it very accessible to people, and I wanted to have good stories in it. At the same time, I really wanted it to be a framework. And so I organized it around America's map to changes, China and Russia's, the Middle East, and then what I called roadmap to the future and climate map. And so those are the maps within it. And of course, the term maps by this point is a metaphor for the changes and how the world is changing and things that just people wouldn't have expected and where they might be going.
Yeah, and Dan, I was in touch with you while you were writing the book, and of course, you're almost done, and then all of a sudden COVID happened, and then you had to go back and sort of tweak everything to incorporate that as well. And I'm wondering how, we talk a lot about how the COVID pandemic reflects somewhat climate change in terms of putting more stress on the poor, showing the vulnerabilities of governments and lack of healthcare, et cetera. What did you learn in your research that showed you how these countries handle COVID and then how they can handle climate change?
Well, I think that I did go, obviously went back and integrated because this is, you know, it's more than a huge story. It's a cataclysm, really, what's happened. One chapter I called The Plague to describe, you know, that takes us up to actually mid-July when they finally took the book away from me. But I think I'll tell you one thing that really hits me. One of the themes of the book is how the U.S. and China are pulling apart, and this going from being, you know, interdependent to what's now the term people use, strategic rivals. And you saw it in terms of COVID and, you know, saw it in terms of climate. But in terms of COVID, this was one occasion when you really needed international collaboration and working together. And instead, we got acrimony and lack of flow of information. And people all over the world have paid a cost for that.
And that's such a good point, because it's very similar with climate in a President Trump presidency. I mean, China has agreed to some kind of emission standards, net neutrality by 2060. It's still really vague, but the country is committed to it in a way that the U.S. has not. What does that mean for Saudi Arabia? What does that mean for Russia? What does it mean for the frackers in the U.S.?
Well, I think it means, obviously, China, as you say, it's vague. China has half the world's solar and half the world's wind, but it's still adding 3 coal-fired plants a month. So in 2060 is pretty far away. But even while there's great divergence, and we heard it at the end of the debate the other night, that incredible debate, I guess it was a debate, in fact, the change is happening anyway. You know, you look at the electric power industry in the United States, it's moving towards being lower carbon and, you know, across it, and more wind and solar, greater efficiency and so forth. Natural gas replacing coal, which has been the biggest contribution to reducing our emissions. So that's happening. For Russia and Saudi Arabia, Putin just last week said, you know, it's great. Oil is only 30% of our budget now. Well, the reason it's 30% is they're selling less oil and the price is down. But nevertheless, Russia has had problems for 20 years of trying to reform its economy, to make it more diversified. And it's just, you know, really not done it. And Saudi Arabia has a policy of saying, well, we've really got to diversify, not only because of what's happening with climate and Paris and so forth, but because 70% of the population is under the age of 30 and they're going to need jobs. But they find out it is hard to diversify an economy that is so heavily dependent upon oil, even before COVID. And one of the things you discover is you need oil revenues in order to diversify away from oil. So I think both of those countries, it's both what's happening on climate in Paris, and it's also this weak oil market that is a result of the persistence of the virus.
And Dan, what do you make of that jobs question? Because I feel like we hear so much from those who talk about sort of a new green economy and a Green New Deal and all those sorts of things, that there is the potential to unlock this whole new economy and ecosystem, especially when it comes to jobs, if there is more investment in alternative energy. What have you discovered as you've thought about that?
Well, the question is, who's going to make the investment? It's happening. I mean, wind and solar, you know, there's a solar revolution. There's a shale revolution. There's a solar revolution. Costs of solar have come down tremendously, in considerable part because of Chinese manufacturing scale. But those costs have come down. Wind has come down. And there are obviously jobs there. There are also, you know, before COVID, there were over 12 million jobs in the oil and gas industry. So there's a kind of balancing between the two of them. I think the challenge about, we hear about, you know, green stimulus. Joe Biden has a $2 trillion climate plan. I think there is, but listening just to, you know, just before I came on, to the condition of the economy and the need for recovery, and particularly small business, and just the economic wounds, I think that's going to take a lot of government focus for the next couple of years. So there's clearly going to be a step up. If Joe Biden's president, there'll be more money going into renewables. There'll be more money supporting electric car sales and charging things and things. Mm-hmm. But I think also we're still going to need to kind of really, really heal the wounds of this protracted crisis from the COVID.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. You need a company with extensive experience in specialized insurance. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and helping provide coverage that suits your needs. The Hartford offers insurance solutions that help mid to large-sized businesses, like yours, effectively manage risk, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. With extensive experience in underwriting, risk engineering services, and claims, The Hartford goes beyond the expected to deliver innovative, customizable solutions and service that your industry, that your business, demands. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Johann Schmiegel, you've got the world's highest IQ.
Yes, 247.
Wow, did you know that thanks to Salesforce with Einstein AI, everyone's smarter? Now everyone's an Einstein, just like you.
But I'm the smartest.
Not anymore. With connected data and trusted AI, everyone can give customers experiences they've only dreamed of. Oh, look, here's a few Einsteins now.
Hey, hi.
Hola, amigo.
Everyone's an Einstein?
It's okay, Johann, let it happen. The number one AI CRM. Now everyone's an Einstein with Salesforce.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do. The people in the spotlight, athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Dan, I am going to ask you. I'd feel like we'd be silly if we didn't ask you. You know, the energy markets, they reacted, obviously, to news from the president today. A reminder that politics and energy and global markets, they're all intertwined, right?
They've become more intertwined than ever, and the oil market is a register of what's happening in the economy, of course, but also politics and this question of what happens with the virus. And the resurgence of the virus is weighing heavily on the oil market because it means things shut down, less demand. So all those things are bound up in the price of oil right now. By the way, just one thing interesting to mention, you know, a long time ago, President Wilson, when he was at the Versailles Treaty, negotiating the treaty after World War One, they said he had a stroke. It turns out that he actually had the Spanish flu. So we've had another president who had once been incapacitated. Well, we don't know that this president is incapacitated, but it really affected the outcome of the First World War because Wilson was kind of out of commission.
Oh, that's really interesting. I didn't know that. It also is interesting in terms of the balance of power that shifts. If you relate kind of the demand for COVID for who's in power and control, and something that President Trump has done has been a huge champion of energy independence here in the U.S., in some ways very much helped broker the deal that OPEC Plus wound up doing, kind of taking Saudis to the table and say, look, guys, you got to cut production, you got to get this done. How does that geopolitical dynamic shift when we start talking about things like solar and wind instead of oil?
Well, you know, the big winner actually in some ways is China, because China, first of all, unlike the United States, which is now essentially self-sufficient, China imports 75% of its oil, and they regard that as a really big problem. So if there's a big shift, they import less oil. The other thing is that they're very well positioned in the supply chains for what they call new energies. 70% of solar panels come from China to the entire world. The lithium-ion battery supply chain, rare earths, and this is where, as we were saying, things come together. This is where geopolitics and energy transition come together, because the question of the supply chains and the scale of the new materials that will be needed will kind of focus on a different view of dependence, not about oil, but about the elements of a more renewable energy economy.
Absolutely. So what's the next big sort of leg of this new energy? Where's the uncharted territory, as it were, to sort of use the metaphor of your book? What should we be looking at next?
Well, I think on the technology side, it's, you know, will there be breakthroughs, big breakthroughs on big batteries? Will there be breakthroughs on carbon capture? Will there be breakthroughs on hydrogen? So that's on that side. I think actually where the U.S.-China relationship goes will be very important for the future of energy. So those are a couple of things that I would watch. And then what kind of economic recovery do we actually have coming out of this COVID crisis, which is now clearly more extended than, you know, people would have thought when they left their offices on March 15th and thought they'd be back in a week.
Right. Right. Absolutely. No, I mean.
Yeah, that's right. Remember those days?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The world, it is fundamentally changed. That is for sure. Dave Juergen.
And if I can say one other thing,
sure.
It's digitalization.
Yes.
7 years of digitalization has been compressed into 7 months. The nature of work will change. And as insofar as work becomes remote and at home, one thing I think we all notice is the boundaries between work, life-work balance, those boundaries get a lot less clear when you're in a digital world.
Absolutely. That is true. Dan Juergen, you're such a gentleman. Thank you for spending some time with us this afternoon on a very, very busy day. We know congratulations on your book. It's called The New Map, Energy, Climate, and the Clash of Nations.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Johann Schmiegel, you've got the world's highest IQ.
Yes, 247.
Wow, did you know that thanks to Salesforce with Einstein AI, everyone's smarter? Now everyone's an Einstein, just like you.
But I'm the smartest.
Not anymore. With connected data and trusted AI, everyone can give customers experiences they've only dreamed of. Oh, look, here's a few Einsteins now.
Hey, hi.
Hola, amigo.
Everyone's an Einstein?
It's okay, Johann, let it happen. The number one AI CRM. Now everyone's an Einstein with Salesforce.